Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Thank you, sir. My name is Pastor Antonio, and I'm our young adults pastor. We got Shift people in the house tonight. Man, we are in our, I guess, fourth week of Sunday Night Overflow. We have our Sunday Night Connect immediately following, and we have just been having such a blast. I just want to thank you all from the bottom, on behalf of our team, for allowing us to just kind of come in and see and be a part of what God is doing on these Sunday nights, and it's just been so amazing. I just believe there's such a spirit of expectation on these Sunday nights, really in our church. It's really in our church. God is doing something amazing. Doesn't matter what service you come to, doesn't matter what night you're here, doesn't matter who's preaching, God is doing something in this house. And I know it's because there's a level of expectation, and I love how I've heard it said that God meets you at the level of your expectation. You know, it makes me think of when Jacob was wrestling, right, with who we now know was God, right? That he was wrestling and he had him by the hip. And I can only imagine, you know, you're in a wrestling match with God, and he has his hip dislocated, and he had to have been in so much pain. I don't know about you, when I'm in pain sometimes, I'm just like, I think I mentioned it once. Sometimes I just like, I don't want to cry, but the tears still come, right? And you're just like, ugh. And imagine like someone's having your hip, but I'm not going anywhere, God, until you do it. I'm not going to move until you give me the blessing. I'm not going to move. And you might be in that pain. You might be in that season of, but you just have to hold on and you bite your teeth. You've been in grip. You got to get the grin and bear it, right? And then you realize that God is going to, you got to hold on and get that blessing in your life. And so I think that's the level of expectation that brings those areas. When like, God, I don't care if it hurts to reveal this area of my life, but I know if that you reveal it, you're going to heal it. And so it's a great thing to find out when a church, when a body is willing to be there, is willing to say yes to Jesus, is willing to say yes to discomfort, is willing to say yes and be in obedience and watch what God does. And that's what season we're in right now. Not just the over, like I said, it doesn't matter what service, God is doing something here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center in our city, in this region. And I just know that I know that I know, and I know you guys know it too, he's going to affect the world through this city. Amen. Come on. Tonight I'm going to be talking from a title called Joy Overflowing, kind of keeping that overflow going. And you know, it was a couple weeks ago now that I just woke up. Sometimes I don't know if you ever just wake up with like, you know, singing, wake up with a song on your heart, maybe just a verse on your heart. And the other day I woke up with just this count it all joy. I just woke up. You know, I'm a morning person. My wife is not, so it's kind of like, I'm like, hey, babe, good morning. She's like, what? You know, like, it's just like, she's not, you know, maybe you guys are the opposite. Maybe you know people, I'm not a morning person. Maybe you go into work and you're like, yay, and everyone's like, give me coffee first, right? I tend to wake up kind of happy. And so I'm just like, yay, you know, count it all joy. And you guys can figure out the story now. Count it all joy. Don't you know that I had plenty of opportunities throughout this day to count things that maybe would not have been joyful as joyous, right? So here we are starting the day, count it all joy. Just brushing my teeth, going about my day, and then something breaks in the house, you know, expense that I wasn't counting on, right? And then maybe a little tiff argument. So what is it called? What does Sam Chan say about like, not fighting, but it's like intense fellowship, right? Intense fellowship with my spouse, a little bit of that same thing with my son, and just kind of like all these things that were happening in my day where I started and I wanted to declare over my day, count it all as joy, and I was having trouble remembering that I needed to count things as joy. But ultimately, I was able to kind of like, you know, I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. I'm going to be happy. Maybe some of that had to do with, because actually that was the day that we dropped off my son at camp, and so we had the weekend to ourselves, so that might have contributed to the joy in our hearts. oh man, when I think like that probably sounds really bad. I missed him. I knew he was in great hands though, right? Awesome children's team, and he just needed to do that, and we needed the time, and it was awesome. So anyways, you know, I'm going to pray, obviously, because I need Jesus, but you guys do too, right? And we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and I thank you, Lord God. I set myself to the side. Lord God, let it not be my thoughts, my intentions, my motives. Lord God, I have nothing to say. But I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just use me as a vessel. Lord God, you are the teacher. You are the one who comforts us. You are the comforter. You are our guide and our counselor today, Lord God. So I just pray, speak into every heart. Open our eyes and open our ears to hear what you need to say, Lord God, tonight, so that when we leave this place, we don't leave this place the same, that we can leave changed, that we can leave excited and ready to go out into our areas of influence and love on people for you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Wow. So, hey, guys, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. We're going to look out of the NIV. So maybe you don't have that, but you can put it up on the screen. Here we go. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may, what? So you may, what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's unpack this verse a little bit. Because it just has so much good stuff. We could stay here all night, but there's a couple things that we're going to talk about. I don't plan on talking very long. I'm just going to go over a couple of ideas with you. I believe God just put this topic on my heart. And like I said, after this verse came up, and I woke up with this idea of joy. It was this theme kind of in my spirit for some time. And I think Pastor Dan preached on it last Sunday. And I was like, oh man, Pastor Dan, you know, you used some of my scriptures that I wanted to use. You know, like it would just kind of been, you know, you just kind of like mull on this area. And I just knew that it was, God was speaking to me about sharing this with you. Because I don't know about you, but I need joy sometimes, because there are so many things and I can be so guilty. Maybe I doubt I'm the only one, but we'll just act like I'm the only one tonight that can get in conversations. I just find myself like, man, this world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? Like, it's just like, we just like news after news, and man, they didn't used to be like this, and the school system didn't used to be like that, and the politics didn't used to be like this, but man, it's all like doom and gloom, right? Everything can try to steal our joy, right? We started the day happy. By the end of the day, there's everything telling us that we don't have any reason to have joy. But those are all lies, right? Those are all circumstantial cases. That's all circumstantial evidence as to why we shouldn't have joy. But we have to go to what the Word of God says about our joy for our lives. So here we are. We're looking at Romans. It says, may the God of hope, just right off the bat, God of hope. We see this theme, God of hope, several times, really. And really what it's saying, God is not only is he the source of our hope, right? But he is where our hope comes from, right? So he's the origin and the subject of our hope. And so here we are. We know what faith is, right? Faith is the hope of the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So we have things in our lives that we have hope for. But what we're finding out here is the God who gives us hope, who is the origin of our hope, wants to fill us with all joy. Not just some joy, not just certain things, but with all joy, praise God. With joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with this hope. You know, we see this common theme, joy and peace, come together a lot. Peace that surpasses understanding and having a joy and being filled with joy. But the cool thing is so say you have peace and you have joy. Those are your wings. And then you have your hope, right? The thing that you're wanting to believe for, the thing that you're hopeful for. And we see that joy, I like this definition of joy, that it means to have an inner gladness or a deep pleasure which comes from an inner assurance and confidence that God does all things for his good purposes. An inner gladness and a deep pleasure that comes from an assurance that God is looking after us. And so we take that idea of joy, and we have that peace, and then we can put it on our hope, and then now we attach our faith to it, right? So our faith is putting wings to the hope that we had. So we can take our joy, we can take the peace, right? A mindset of peace, and we put our hope and attach it to faith. And now there's things that we're believing for in our life. And all of a sudden it has wings to fly. It has wings to take off. We're in that place. Again, you're believing for a job. Okay, I have joy. I'm going to praise them through it. And I have a mental peace. People aren't understanding why I should have peace. I don't have a job. Things don't look good. But I have a peace because it comes from the Lord. And I am hopeful. Now I put my faith on it and it flies. And now we see doors open for jobs. Or maybe, again, you're believing for somebody. You're believing for a spouse. Or you're believing for your children. Whatever it might be in your finances. But we put our hope into those things, and the God of hope can see those things through. So again, what we have to realize is, I liken it to an ENT doctor, right? Ear, nose, throat, right? And maybe this is a bad image, but you think like a loogie, right? Like, so loogie's really like, it's like mucus. It's all up in this area. But you like hawk it, you know, it comes from your throat. Like, so the doctor like does all those things, right? Oh, I'll check that one out. Don't use that one again. But so an ear, nose, throat doctor, right? So it's just, it's all connected. It's the same kind of thing though, right? So you guys are following with me, right? Okay? Save that one for shift only, right? Okay. All right. Take note. So here we go. So it's all connected, but it's the same thing with our peace, our joy. And man, it's hot up here. the idea is that there's the connection between them, right? We have the connection into what's going on. They have an interconnection. So once we realize that, we understand that, then it can make sense when we have a challenge with joy, or when we have we see what's broken, right? Like, oh, but I'm hopeful, but I have no joy, or I have no peace, or there's no hope in my heart. So that way we can, again, connect it with our faith and watch things open up in our life. If you're taking notes, write down this. Write down, joy is a gift. Joy is a gift. You know, there's this old wives' tale of these two wives that were in a laundromat. And they were sitting, they were at the laundromat doing their laundry, and they were also mending the pants, their husband's pants, right? And so they kind of get to talking. One of the wives, she's sharing, she's like, man, my husband, he's miserable. He has a hard time at the job. He comes home, nothing's good on TV. Family life is just, it's a place of despair. Nothing really good happens at our home. And then when we do go to church, the worship leader, he's no good, and the pastor, he's an idiot. He obviously doesn't come here, right? And then the kind of like this quiet moment, and the second wife chimes in, and she's like, really? You know, things are great for my husband. He's always happy. You know, we have a great home life. Work doors are opening up at work. We go to church, and he just gets involved, and he loves it, and the pastor has great sermons, and he comes to overflow. There's all this opportunity is opening up, and life goes great. But then there's that awkward moment like, oh, you know, like, okay, yeah, you upped me on that one, right? And then if you imagine, get this picture, if you, like, pan out, right, as the story's ending, you're panning out, and the women continue doing their mending, and one of the women is patching a patch on the seat of her husband's pants, and the other is patching a patch on the knees. Not like these, not on purpose, but because of prayer. Did I have to, you know what I'm saying? So you get it. So the idea is, right, maybe that, the idea is joy is our choice. Right, and it's a gift. It's a gift that God is giving us. And you know, if you think about it, in Galatians chapter 5, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Does anyone know the fruit of the Spirit song? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, faithfulness. I got it wrong. Andrew always likes to hear the YouTube song, and I try to get it that way. But joy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. What does that mean? Or one of the fruits of the Spirit. So that means if we're picturing the Holy Spirit, you know, you're born again, you're of the Spirit now, you're born of the Spirit. So joy should be one of the fruits that comes off of your tree, right? If you're a believer, joy should be something that comes out of you, right? That's what this means, to have a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is one of those, it's given unto us, right? If you're born again in this place and you're born of the Spirit, joy is one of the fruits that should come out of our life. That means that we have, again, that assurance. We have that knowing that God is able. We have that knowing that it doesn't matter what is in front of me, I know that God is able. So here we are. We have this joy of the Spirit. But at the same time, everything else in our world, everything else around us might look like there's no reason to have joy. You know, the realities are like, oh, but that's not my reality, man. You don't know my reality. I don't have any, but the idea... But there are no, like, parentheses or asterisks on these gifts that God is saying. He's saying, I'm giving you joy. Joy is available for you. It's a gift. Take this joy. And in fact, there's several examples. Let's look at I love the way it was said here. Joy received from God gives Christians the assurance that he does all things well for those who seek him with all their hearts. Joy received from God. See, where's the source of our joy? Is it when we check our bank accounts? I don't know about you, but sometimes towards the end of the month, like, I feel like I'm on the app a little bit more. Like, oh, shoot, every purchase, like, oh, let me check, right? And so does the joy come from how often you check in your account, or does it come from how, the relationship status, or how many likes you got on your social media? Does it come from the promotion that you might be getting at work, or again, how things are going in your life? What, you know, things are great, so I have a lot of joy. And then when things aren't, don't look so good, now my joy is depleted. The reality is, but that's the only joy that the world can offer. The world only offers contingency joy, right? Like, it's temporary joy. It can only run out. It can only go when things are good. It can only go when, like, yeah, here's all these contingencies. This you can have as long as X, right? You fill in the blank of what you need it to be. But the problem is that's just temporary. But when God gives you a joy, it doesn't matter what the bank account says. It doesn't matter what's happening at work. It doesn't matter what's going on in your marriage. It doesn't matter, because God's joy is there, and it makes you and it wants you to be full. Because we saw, what did we say? We said it all together, overflow, right? That our joy would overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the part that the world is missing. There's nothing backing the world's joy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you try to get a finance, that's why you got to get backing behind it, right? Like, okay, well, if you want to get a loan on a car or a house or whatever it might be, there needs to be a backing behind it. And I don't know about you, but I don't think there's any better backing than the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's joy, and then that's being backed by the Holy Spirit to give you power to that it might overflow. But the other part of that verse was, as we trust in Him. The reality is, here's this gift of joy. It's here, and it's available for you. But so often, we don't choose to take it, because we'd rather have the temporary joy, but when I look online, it makes me happy. I can be reassured of it real quickly. But it's superficial. And again, this is not a soapbox type of thought. This thought is that we have this joy. Let's put down the superficial joy and take up the joy that God has for us. And I promise us that will be the kind that overflows. So then when people don't have joy around us, instead of, oh man, they bring me down. No, we bring people up. Right? Like, oh, I can't go around like all those negative people. And I'm not saying that we should always just jump into negative situations. But don't you know, you have the love of Christ in you and the joy of the Lord. And all of a sudden you bring people around. Oh, hey, I just like being around you, man. You brighten my day. You just, I don't know if you had, I mean, this is not a boast on me, but people have been able to tell me that just because I have the joy of the Lord. You know, like, so sometimes you just have the joy of the Lord on you, and all of a sudden people recognize it and you're bringing people's day up. And like, what is that? What's different about, I have the joy of the Lord. I'm filled up. I got the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit. That's the fruit that we're talking about. Turn with me if you would, because Jesus talks about joy. What does Jesus say about joy, right? In John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Would it be possible to get a water? Pastor Jen, sorry. That song, I was like yelling. Thank you, sir. Did someone say I need an ear, nose, throat doctor? Is that, no? John chapter 15, verse 9. We're actually going to look at the NLT. We're going to look at the NLT, if we could get that up. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Other translation says it will be made complete. It will be made complete. See, so Jesus is, he wants to give us the joy that he has. Again, we're not talking about superficial joy. We're not talking about temporary joy. We're not talking about joy that goes away. We're talking about joy that he wants to give us so that we can overflow, or that he can complete us with his joy. But what's he talking about? He's saying, remain in my love. When you obey my, here you're going into works. No one's going into works. We're just talking about when we're in obedience to God, when we're in a relationship with God, right? Think about it this way. You don't have to, this is not a works thing. This is a relationship thing, Right? What relationship do you want to be in where that person wants nothing to do with you, but yet still wants to pull something out of you? Right? Where are you going to find a relationship that you want to continuously be in where all they want to do is take from you, yet they don't want to have anything to do with you when it comes to, hey, let's do this. Like there's no sense of love towards them. That's all Jesus is talking about. He's like, obey my commandments. Do what God is saying to do. Right? Because look, I picture it this way. When if you're living on borrowed time, or if you're out, I say, have you guys ever seen that movie Catch Me If You Can? Leonardo DiCaprio, right? So he's a con man, essentially, right? So he gets all this money. He cashes blank checks. He travels the world. He's able to fly. He's a pilot. Never went to pilot school again, and just cashes checks for more money and is living this life. And every place he goes, he's a different personality. He's a different name. But the thing is, his life is on the run. Right, he's living on borrowed time. Right, he's not. There's no substance to what he's doing. All his joy, all the things that you would. Oh my gosh, this looks cool. This guy's staying in the coolest hotels and all these great things. But he's living on borrowed time. He's on the run. Right, there's no substance to what he's doing. Yet, when we're in a relationship with Jesus. Yet when we hear what Jesus is telling us, yet when we hear his voice and we obey his voice, now what we're doing is we're teaming up with what the power of his Holy Spirit, and our obedience now is able to enact and put joy into our lives. See, because otherwise you only get the fake stuff. Otherwise it can't be manufactured. And God's joy, Jesus' joy that he wants to fill us up with, is the only joy that will ever remain. It's the only joy that will ever remain. It's the only time that we'll be able to find real joy in our lives. But yet there's books. And, I mean, it's just like it's billion-dollar industry of self-help, of trying to find out how to talk myself up enough to find happiness, to find joy. And again, all of it is for... It's no soapbox, right? But these are all things that are in theory. It's theoretical joy. It's trying to find it minus God. But Jesus just said it right here. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Follow my commandments. Be in relationship with me. Remain in my love. Hello, remain in my love. I just want to love you. Just stay close to me. Be in relationship with me and your joy will be filled. That joy is coming out of the fruit of your relationship with him. It's not, because you do these things, it's what happens. It's the residual of what happens. It's not like an allowance from God. It's a residual. It's like, man, this just happens when you're around me, right? Like when you're around me, when you're in relationship with me, you just have joy. That's why, have you ever talked to people? Have you guys ever run into Christians? And some of you are in here. You guys are great examples of it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I've run into people, you know, as pastors, we get prayer requests from people. And we see, so we can believe and intercede with them. But sometimes I'm like, I see them here at church, and they're so happy, they're so joyous, and it's genuine. And I'm like, wait, isn't that the same person that wanted prayer for this travesty that happened in their family or this thing that's going on? But they just, that's what the joy does. It's not fake. It's not a mask. What it is, it doesn't make sense, but it's the joy of the Lord. And that's the joy that we should all desire for ourselves. Last point. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. It's not an emotion, right? It's not simply just something that you take, right? You think of emotion, joy, you know, to be joyful, to be happy, right? But it's more than that, because it can't depend on our circumstances or happiness. We see in 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul wrote about the topic or the theme of joy 21 times, right? The second closest was John writing about it 9 times. But Paul, if you don't remember, also had a lot of sufferings. Right? Paul was beaten, was shipwrecked, was flogged, Paul had it rough. Doesn't it sound kind of bizarre that he also is the one who wrote about joy the most? Maybe it's because he needed joy. Right? Like, oh man, this stuff's going on. God, you got to boost me up because my life's crazy. Stuff's happening to me. Like, I'm trying to do your will. Yeah, I'm getting shipwrecked. God, I'm just doing what you told me to do. Come on, can you help me out, please? Give me some joy. And what God was faithful to that. And God gave him a revelation of joy that we can thank God that has been kept alive for us today. So that when you go through your circumstances, when I'm going through my circumstances, when I'm going through struggles, when I'm going through pains, I can look to be like, well, God, you got Paul through it. You got those people through it. You can get me through it. Man, I can talk about joy. I can see joy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Nevertheless, the God who comforts the downcast. Why was Paul able to find joy in what seemed like such a challenge? He said it, whether I was inside or outside, it was just, oh man, getting here was tough. But God comforted us. He sent Titus. He sent for help. Maybe it comes in the way of a paycheck. Maybe it comes in the way of a relationship. But God will comfort us and give us joy. Why, Paul was able to find joy, but it was a choice that Paul had to make. See, because Paul could write a letter of, oh me, oh my, probably wouldn't be in the Bible. But he could have written his, on my list of, oh, woe is me, and this was so hard, and oh my gosh, God, I'm just trying to do this, this, and that. And maybe, I don't know about you, I can do that sometimes. Like, God, but I served. But God, I did this. But God, I went to Bible college. But God, I gave. I tithed. I sacrificed. I didn't do that. I could have been doing those things. But I said no when my friends, and that sounded actually more fun, God. But I said no because I was going to do the right thing. And yet I'm in this tribulation. Yet I'm in this season of challenge. I'm in this season of what feels like lack, of what feels like pain, this of what feels like there's no open doors. Where are you, God? See, but joy doesn't allow us to have those questions. And I'm not condemning you for having those, but joy keeps us from even getting there. That's what I'm saying. You get it? We're like, you don't even have to go down that far because the moment that you recognize a challenge, joy rises up on you and says, you know what? I count it all as joy when I come through trials and tribulations because it's an opportunity for me to be filled and for him to be glorified. Amen? See, because it doesn't have to be badges of honors, our trials and tribulations. What should be badges of honor are the times that we chose joy. When despite our situation, we chose joy and people saw and we were overflowed onto others. And we were able to talk people through that situation because, hey, I was there, but I chose joy and joy is available for you too. Because it has to be a choice that we're going to decide to make. But you don't know my life. You're oversimplifying. You don't know. You're right. I don't. And maybe you have had a very rough life. Maybe you've been dealt a very bad hand of cards. But I can only tell you what the Word of God says. And I can only share what God has showed us through His Word. And that's joy is available for us. That joy can be filled within us and He can comfort us. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8. Last couple scriptures here. I looked at that thing. I thought it was 8:30. I'm like, whoa, that was fast. It's 8, man. Okay. All right, Nehemiah chapter 8. I'll just read it off of here. New King James. Then he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, if you can remember that, if you can get that, that the joy that comes from God is able to be a weapon for us, is able to comfort us, is able to bring us peace, is able to be a place of refuge when we're in need, if it's able to give us that strength, God's joy can do that. Speak that over your life. When you get that bill in the mail or when you get that email that says you didn't get the job or whatever it might be, you get some bad news. Choose to find strength in his joy. Choose to be strengthened by his joy. Choose to let his joy strengthen you. Because in our own strength, we can't do it. In our own strength, challenges wipe us out. In our own strength, oh my gosh, we go into dark depressions. In our own strength, anxiety comes up. But we can get his joy in our life. That's when things change. That's when we're able to get strong. One last verse. What I don't want to do is underestimate individuals in here, your challenges, your struggles, things that are hard for you that I can't even imagine. I don't think I put this in the notes. I apologize. I think I was in the back like, God, I was really wrestled with this message tonight because I knew that God wanted to, that he put this topic, this theme of joy. But I was having a hard time conveying it and if I could just say, packaging it in a way that I can present it to you in a way that we can understand, in a way that we can apply into our lives. And I really wrestled like, God, because it's just like, oh, have joy, guys. Just be happy. Let's go home. Let's sing some songs. But I think it's important to understand because, man, you don't have to go very far to see people in despair. We don't have to go very far. And there's situations that, man, it's hard for people to grasp the hurt that people are in. But that's not bigger than God. And it's not bigger than what God is able to do. So I just want to share this last verse with you. We're going to wrap up. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. Again, I apologize. I don't have it on the screen. But and you became followers of us. This is God, Paul writing. He's with Timothy. And you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So yet you were under much affliction, Paul is saying. He's writing to the church of Thessalonica. Yet you were under affliction. And you received it with joy. How did that happen? How did that happen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed them to have joy. And actually it goes on in verse 7. So that you became examples in all of Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So you think, oh, the people who had it good are the examples. No, the people, not only were they able to take what they were, while they were in affliction, while they were in challenges, while they were in hardships, to receive joy through the Holy Spirit, but they were able to be examples for other churches, other cities, other regions, other countries. How great can our joy be? What statement can we make with our joy? I don't know all you individually. But people do. People in your life, they go to your work, they know your situation. Maybe you ride a bike to work. Maybe your car has been broken down and it takes you 2 hours and you have to wake up extra early just to get to work. And they see you like, man, that guy wakes up early to get here. That gal, she does so much just to get here, just to make those efforts. They see your affliction. But yet when you're able to have the joy of with the power of the Holy Spirit in you, that it doesn't affect you, that it doesn't affect how you talk to people, that it doesn't affect how you answer phones, that it doesn't affect how you lead, that is joy that can only come from God. And that's the joy that I want for my life. That's the joy that we should all desire. That's the joy that if we can team up with, that's the joy that changes things. That's the joy. Guys, people want to be happy. People don't want to be sad. People don't want to be depressed. People would want to feel that emotion, but we need is that assurance within us. We need that assurance that says, I know that I know that I know that regardless of my circumstance, regardless of my present, what's happening right now, God has a plan for me and there is joy coming for me in the morning. Come on. So if you don't remember anything else, if we have joy, we can have peace in our minds, right? We have that peace. And with that peace, we have our hope. And with that hope, we attach our faith to it and we watch what God does in our lives. Joy is a choice and it's a gift. It's available for all of us, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what you've been through. And God has it for you. Amen. If you guys got some from the Word of God, come on, let's give Him a praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.